Well, good morning and welcome. 11 o'clock service. You guys doing good today? Feeling good? Yeah? Ready for the word? Oh, that was delayed. A little bit delayed. That's all right. It's going to be a good one today. I know Christine, my wife, mentioned a little bit about Fall Fest. We did have an amazing turnout on Friday night, and so I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Maddie Bitter and to Michelle Labadie for putting this thing and being like having the brain behind all of it and organizing and getting it all together. They did a phenomenal job just organizing and planning, making sure it all happened, bringing out some vendors. We had some really cool vendors at the event as well. And then also I wanted to give a shout out to all the people that put together a trunk for our trunk or treat portion of the night. It was a great time of outreach, and we are just so thankful that we have this space and that we're able to do this. And so just thank you. Thank you all for coming and enjoying and investing and helping us engage the not yets. And so I say that because that's actually one of our core values in our series All In. I've been sharing core values with you, and engage the not yets is one of our core values. And you're probably like, well, what's a not yet? Well, we like to believe, we don't say they're not Christians or non-Christians, or we just say they're not yet. They're not yet Christians. And that means that there's a hope, there's a prayer that, man, God is going to draw them in, and they are going to become into the faith and believing in Jesus Christ. And so we do some things to engage the not yets. And that's one of the ways, our Trunk or Treat, our Fall Fest, is one of the ways in which we do that. And so we do that to outreach, to love on the community, to show hospitality and generosity, all these attributes of God, so that those who do not yet know Jesus may come to know Jesus. And that's why we do things like that. So thank you for helping us live out that core value in our church. Today we are wrapping up our All In series. And today I want to talk a little bit about fear and the fears that keep us from moving forward, the fears that kind of hold us hostage, keep us in bondage, keep us from stepping into the things that God has for us. And no matter who you are, no matter how tough or strong you are, we all have fears. At one point or another, we have fears. We deal with fears. There are circumstances. There are relationships. There are failures. There are many things that kind of, give us our fears or begin to produce fears within our heart and within our mind. And so we're going to talk about that today. I remember when I was younger, in my early 20s, I had just gotten a job out in Tampa doing computer work. And it was a bit of a commute, a lot of stop and go, rush hour traffic, stuff like that. Really annoying, didn't like the drive at all. And there was one week that I actually got into 3 accidents within a 1 week time period. My mom's laughing at me right now because she remembers. And so the first one, I was on my way to work. It was kind of just stop and go traffic, and I probably stayed up way too late the night before. And so I was just kind of like, I was done with it, right? And so we started going, and I thought we were going, but we were stopping it again. And I didn't realize that until it was a little too late. And I kind of sideswiped somebody. Not too crazy, but wreck number one. The second one, I'm pretty sure I backed into somebody in your yard. I'm just, I don't know what was happening there, okay? And so that one wasn't too bad either. But then the third one was really great. That's the one that totaled my car, my beautiful, beautiful car. I love that car, my Corolla. And I was at a light. They started going, and they stopped, and I didn't. And I rear-ended them real good. My hand went through the windshield. I was picking pieces of glass out of it for weeks after that. I'm like, oh, look, Mom, I found another one. Oh, should I save it? Like, I don't know what to do with this. But that was kind of like, that one kind of was like, oh, that was terrifying. I don't ever want to experience that again. And it's one of those things where I could look and say, man, like 3 crashes in 1 week, I probably should just never drive again. And as these things happen to us, these fears come in, and a lot of times the fears are driven by the what ifs. Well, what if this would have happened? And what if next time it's worse? And you begin to just process all of these things. And so that week could have easily been a thing where I said, I'm hanging up my keys and I'm gonna take the bus, right? But I'm proud to announce that I drove the next day and it was fine. I didn't let fear of driving or getting into a car accident keep me from driving and getting where I needed to go. But it taught me to be more observant as a driver. I don't think I've gotten to an accident since. Look at that. Thanks, God. You're the best. Only took 3 accidents to keep me from getting into another one. Anyway, but while I'm not afraid of driving. I do have fears. Fears in my life that come up, and you know, where the enemy comes in and those what ifs happen. And so I have fears of letting people down. I have fears of delegating like large responsibilities. I have a fear for my kids in this world and what's to come for them, and really not having control, you know, after they grow and go. I have a fear that maybe I'm failing as a parent in certain aspects or with certain kids. Like I'm failing. I have a fear of turning people away from the gospel. That's a big one. Sometimes I fear that I'm a failure as a pastor. And so these are thoughts that come in, and maybe there is a circumstance that took place. Maybe there was a conversation. Maybe, you know, through hearing other leaders and other failures, I've looked and I've seen, and I begin to say, you know, what if, what if, what if? And so I have these fears, and they come up. But the biggest thing about them is that I push through them. And I take my fears, and I give them to God. And I give them to the one who's in control. I didn't share this last service, but I was reminded as my wife was standing up here. You probably wouldn't know it, but she hates being up here. And she tells me every time, she's like, it doesn't matter, no matter how many times I've been doing this, and she's been doing it for some time now. She's like, I get afraid, and my brain goes to mush, and I don't know what to, but she pushes through it every single time, and she stands here, and she gives it to God, and she does a fantastic job. And it's, so anyway, so this is what we're gonna be talking about today. And I wanna share a story with you about a giant fear that met an even bigger faith. And this is the story of David and Goliath. And you know what's interesting? I realized this, I've never preached this story in our church, in the history of our church. Isn't that wild? Never preached the story of David and Goliath. Apparently, I don't know why. We're doing it today, though. And we're going to talk about fear. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But I want you to turn to someone and say, show fear your faith. Turn to someone right now. Show fear your faith. Really tell them. No. Turn to someone else. Show fear your faith. There we go. A little crowd participation. All right, now we're up. If you weren't up, me screaming, well, you're up now. 1 Samuel 17, we're going to be in verse 8, but let's pray before we dive into God's word. God, thank you so much for your word and for these stories from biblical heroes that we get to learn from in our own lives. And these stories weren't just about them. They were about you and what you could do in and through us, all of us. And so today, God, I pray that we understand that you brought us here today for a specific reason, for a specific purpose, and you wanna share something with us through your word. And so I pray that right now we would be focused in on you, that we would be observant, we would listen to the Holy Spirit speaking directly to us through your holy word. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. All right, verse 8, here we go. Goliath, he's the giant. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants to Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight me and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." Verse 11, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul, King Saul, and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. What do we got? Fear. There's a giant, and he has caused them to be fearful. All of the Israelites that were there, that were ready for battle, including the man in charge, the king. And so they're all there, and this giant is there, and you learn about just how big he is in other passages, and he's a huge guy. And they're saying, hey, you know what? We're not going to, you know, fight as an army. We're just going to do a one-on-one battle. Here's our champion, biggest guy around. Where's yours? And it wasn't going to be King Saul because he was dismayed and terrified. And all of the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. And this lasted for 40 days. 40 days, Goliath came forward every morning and evening, and he took his stand. And he defied the armies of Israel. And he said, send a champion to me to defeat me. And there was no one that stood up. And so what happened is in this moment for 40 days, King Saul and the armies of Israel were held hostage by fear. They were held idle by fear. They weren't moving forward. They weren't advancing. They weren't doing what God called them to do. They were stuck because of a fear that stood in their way. And so my question for you today is, what has kept you idle in fear in your life? What has kept you idle for a time? You know, maybe it's 40 days, maybe it's 4 weeks, maybe it's been 4 years, maybe it's been 40 years. Is there a fear in your life that has kept you from moving forward? A giant fear that stood in the way, because that's what fear will do. It'll keep you from stepping into what God has called you to the victory that God has for you in your life and for the relationships in your life. Going on in verse 20, this is where David shows up. Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd. He loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. That's his father. He reached the camp and as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. And whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Here it is again, fear. Now just immerse yourself in this. They're going out to battle, they're making formations, they're making these war cries, and they haven't fought or done anything for 40 days. And every time that Goliath shows up, what's it say they do? They flee and run in fear. And then they just show up the next day, I guess, hoping that Goliath would die in his sleep, right? Maybe it'll be a smaller guy this time, and like we can fight him, right? Like they just kept showing up, hoping it'd be different. Never moving forward, never advancing, no one ever stepping up to bat because they were afraid. And so David hears this for the first time. He didn't know what was going on. He hears it for the first time. And David said to Saul, verse 32, says, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Heard the Philistine challenge and defy the armies of the living God one time and said, "I'll fight him." And this is what I'm looking at. I'm saying this is the faith to stand and fight. The faith to stand up to fear and fight it. The faith to stand up and say, "I'm not going to let you fear control my life or keep me from what God has for me." And so David hears it once. He's a young man. He's not at the battle. He's actually just bringing food to his brothers who were in the battle. And he says, "I'm going to stand and fight." Well, King Saul says to him, verse 33, "You're not able to." Oh man, don't we do this to ourselves? Where we get the courage and we talk ourselves out of it and say, "No, because of this failure, I can't. Because this happened, I don't think it's gonna, you know, I experienced this one time and it's just not gonna be good." And if it's not us talking ourselves down and saying that we can't, we have other people around us speaking negativities into our life. They're negative Nancys. That's what Saul is, right? He's a negative Nancy in our life. He's like, "No, you can't. You can't do it." And he says, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight." He says, "You're only a young man." And he has been a warrior from his youth. So David has the faith to stand and fight. Meanwhile, King Saul had the fear to stay and cower. And he's taking the fear that he has, and he's trying to put it on David. "So I'm here, I'm staying, I'm cowering. You can't fight him. Even between me and you, I think I'd beat you," right? And so he's saying, "You need to live in fear, and you need to cower as well." And David says, "No, I will stand and I will fight." Verse 36, this is what he says to him. This David says, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear." Formidable foes, right? This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. And that's the key to all of it, right? He's defied God and what God wants to do and who God is. And then he says in verse 37, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." And so what does he say? What God has already done, he will do it again as I stand to fight in faith. Not faith in David's strength, right? Not faith that David could overcome Goliath by himself, but it's a faith in God and who God is and in God's strength, right? That's who he's putting his faith in. And so David says this, and Saul says to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." And that's key to the whole thing. That's key to this victory. And that's keys to our victory every single day as we face our fears. We take our fear and we say, "God, I may be afraid, but you're bigger, you're greater, you are victorious over whatever this is, so I'm gonna step into it." And so that's what we do, that's what we gotta do. We gotta do like David. So verse 40, it goes on. "Then he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and I'll cut off your head." And I'm like, whew, those are powerful words, right? This is it right here. This is what we need to do to our fear. We need to strike our fear down and cut off their heads, right? And how do we do it? It's not in our own strength. It's by God. God will deliver our fear into our hands so that we can defeat it. And it's through his strength, and it's through his wisdom, and it's through his power that we're able to do that. And so that's a prophetic word right there. That he's going to strike him down and cut off his head like it happened right after this. So here we go, verse 47. "All those gathered here will know that this is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves." This is key. "For the battle is the Lord's." It's not David's. This is the Lord's battle. This is the Lord's fight. And when you go up against our enemy, our adversary, when you go up against fear that he is putting into your mind and into your heart, you got to give it to him and let it be his battle. And when you let it be the Lord's battle, he will give all of it into your hands. And then verse 48, it says, "As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly to the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground." And so David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck him down. There's the first part of the prophecy coming true. "I'm going to strike you down." And he killed him. Verse 51 says, "David ran and stood over him, took hold of the Philistine's sword, drew it from its sheath, and after he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword." He's like, you know what? I'm just going to make sure, right? This is a big dude. I hit him with the rock. He fell. It doesn't look like he's breathing. But let's make sure. You cut his head off. If he comes back, you'd be like, no, okay, something's going on here. But this is it, right? He didn't just, you know, throw the stone at him and knock him down and say, all right, it's good. He made sure it was done. He struck it down and he cut it off. He said no more. And how did he do it? He did it through the power of God. He did it with God by him, near him, and for him. And so, you know, I talk about already how this fear of this giant, it kept Israel hostage and idle for 40 days. And so I wonder today, what are your giant fears? What are those fears that have kept you from moving forward for God? That have kept you from going, from taking those steps of faith where God wants to work and move in your life and in the lives of others? What are your fears? What fears are holding you back and keeping you idle? I know we all have them. We've all wrestled with them. It's when we give them to God and make it the Lord's battle, that's when we see victory in our lives. We don't let it, you know, keep us in terror, in dismay, and just fleeing back. And we press forward with God's help in our lives. So at the end of the day, man, fear, it's going to defy you. It's going to defy the God you serve. And it'll keep you moving forward in what God has for you. And this is true in your job. This is true in your relationships. This is true in your calling. And it's true in your ministry. It's true in your friendships. It's true in your growing up and maturing and becoming the young man, the young woman that God wants you to be. It's maturing in your faith. It's moving forward, and he'll defy you in overcoming your addictions. He'll cast fear in your life so you'll stay in codependency upon another person instead of upon God. It's fear against opening up and having accountability in your life and being challenged by others and challenging yourself. It's fear even in just getting healthy. It's everything. It'll defy what God wants to do in you and through you and for you and ultimately for his glory. And at the end of the day, fear may seem like a giant to us. Our fears may seem like a giant to us, but they are minuscule when you compare them to God. So you have giant Goliath, tiny little like teenage boy David, shouldn't be there, right? And you look at this and you say, okay, the giant's got this. But then you take into consideration that God is with David, and then the giant begins to look very, very puny comparatively. And that's the case with our fears. And it is God, because God is great and God is grand and God is wonderful. But it's not just God, it's faith in God. It's faith in what God has done. It's faith in what God will do. It's faith in God's promises. It's faith in who he is and that he fights for you. And so if you want to break free from fear, you got to put your fear to death. You got to, and it's through faith in God, right? Verse 47, that the battle is the Lord's. And so it's his. You give it to him, and then he gives you the power to strike it down and to cut it off. And it, you know, it's not going to look like David's battle with Goliath. It's going to look a little bit different. It's going to take a little bit longer. I don't know, but because all of our fears and the things that we're going through, they're different. God can work through them and do miraculous things through them, and he can use our story of overcoming fear to speak into someone else's life, as long as we remain hopeful and in him and understanding that he's got us. So the enemy will always stand in defiance of what God wants to do in your life. Always. He will always try to get you to question what God has called you to. He will always try to tell you that you're not good enough, that you're not strong enough, that you're not smart enough. This is the way the enemy works. And it's all the opposite, because God says, you are because I am, right? You are because you have access to the Holy Spirit. And so it's your faith in God that is what will defeat this enemy's defiance of your faith. So it's your faith. And so we use our faith against fear. Now, with David, so we use faith against these things. With David, what did he have with him? He had a sling and a stone. And then you got this giant guy with a sword and an armor bearer and all this stuff. And David's just running at him with a sling and a stone, but he used his sling and a stone against the giant. It was faith in that. Faith in God and faith in what he had. So maybe for you, it's faith in a low income in against the increasing cost of living. It's faith in unity against relational and financial stress of marriage. It's faith in an accountability when it comes to our struggle with addictions. It's faith in the progress that we've made against the failures that we've had in the past. We have faith in that. It's faith in what you still have against the loss that you've experienced now. It's faith in what's next against what's unraveling in your life right now. It's faith in praise, maybe against the joy that's been taken. It's faith in breath, just the breath that we're breathing against a very difficult health diagnosis. It's faith in God's promises when a loved one breaks theirs. It's faith in him. And here's the reality. All in faith picks a fight with fear, just like David did. It picks a fight with fear. And when we go all in with our faith to pick a fight with fear, it will stand victorious over fear every single time because of this very fact, because we know all in faith knows that God is near. So, right? So we pick a fight with fear. When God is with us, fear has to flee. And this is what took place. So I didn't read it here, but as soon as Goliath died, you want to know what the armies of the Philistines did? They ran. They were gone. And they may even had more soldiers than the Israelites, but their champion was dead. And the champion that stood, while he looked small, he was a lot bigger because the champion was God. And so whenever God is near, our fear has to flee. Our fear will stand down. And so when fear reminds you that you're a failure or of your failures, you remind your fear of God's victory over sin and death, right? And then you have access to the one who rose victorious. When fear reminds you and gets you to doubt your future, you remember the one that knows what the future holds. When your fear tells you that you're alone, you remind yourself that you're never alone. You remind yourself of the one who is always with you. When fear makes you forget, you remind it of God's faithfulness. I want to give you four scriptures to help with that. Isaiah 41:10. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 43:1-3. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, that they shall not overcome you. When you walk through fire, you shall not burn, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Psalm 21:1-2. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid?" And then I'll just give you Isaiah 43:5. And all it says is this: "Do not fear, for I am with you." And that's it. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Do not flee. Do not cower. Do not fear, for I am with you. Now, I was thinking about this and, just in the life of my kids, and if you ever had kids, been a parent, you probably experienced this as well. There are many times when our kids get afraid and get scared. It could be in the middle of the night and they wake up and it's dark and they see something and they're scared. And you know what happens the moment that I walk into the room, I let them know that I'm there, they're calm. They calm down, they're comforted, and they go back to sleep because I'm near. And that's it. All they needed to know, Daddy's near. I'm good. He's got me. There are times when my kids, that we have a detached garage that we close in, and sometimes they'll leave stuff out there, and it's like pitch black out there, and they don't want to go out there because it's dark, and they're afraid. And guess what happens if they get me to go with them? They're no longer afraid anymore. It's the proximity to the Father that takes their fear and makes it flee. And that's the same with you and I. We got to understand that we have access to the Father 24/7, right? We don't have to fear. You don't have to fear when the Father is near. You understand? We don't have to live in fear because we have him in our lives. And so you and I, we defy fear and the enemy when we put our faith in the one who's already defeated him for all eternity, and that's Jesus. And you see, it's through Jesus that we have 24/7 access to God, to our Father, because when he died and he rose and he ascended, you know what he sent us? He sent us the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, who is our guide, who is with us at all times. Romans 8:31 says this. It says, if God is near, if God is with us, if God is for us, whom should we fear? Who can stand against us? And we have that all the time. So here's what this means. When feelings of fear show up, they are fleeting when we remember that God is near, that he's with us, and we have nothing to fear. We take our fear and we give it to him, and we say, God, you're going to be the one that's victorious over this, not me. And he's always with us through the Holy Spirit. And here's what the Holy Spirit brings. The Holy Spirit, he comforts us. He comforts us in our fear, and he comforts us because he reminds us of our Father's protection, of our Father's provision, and of our Father's promises. The Holy Spirit also guides us in our fear. It reminds us that while we may not know what the future holds, our Father directs our paths. And he knows. And we trust in that, and we have faith in that. And so the Spirit guides us, and it comforts us. And lastly, the Holy Spirit, it speaks for us. And it speaks to us when the enemy tries to silence us. When the enemy tries to get us to be quiet, to sit down, to stay idle, to not move, the Holy Spirit will speak for us and to us and remind us who he is. See, the access to the Spirit, though, this is through Christ and Christ alone. That's it. It's through Jesus. Jesus is victorious over sin and death. He is the conqueror of those things, and he rose again so that you and I could be put in right standing with God, be reconciled to God, and it's through the Holy Spirit in our lives that we have that. And it's confession of our sin to Jesus, and it's surrendering control of our life to him. And so if you want to be able to give your fear to something, it's Jesus. And it's Jesus' access to the Holy Spirit, and that's what we get. And the Spirit, it gives us the faith to defeat the defiant fear in our lives, to see and experience victory. It's victory in our marriage. It's victory in our other relationships. It's victory in our addictions and in our failures and our doubts. It's victory in our job and our calling and our ministry. It's victory in our financial issues. It's victory in our family. It's victory for our kids. In all things, faith is what defeats fear. And it's faith in God and his promises. It's faith in the Spirit and his presence, and it's faith in Jesus' resurrection, that he died and he rose again, and he did that for you and I so that we could have the faith to conquer the fears that try to overcome us. Would you guys join me in bowing your heads, closing your eyes? And here's what I want to do, because I know each of us have our fears. I won't pretend to know what they are or how long they've held you captive. But today I want to give you an opportunity to put them in the hands of God our Father. And so right now I want to talk to the Jesus followers in the room. Those of you who have at one point recognized who Jesus was, recognized that he died and took your place on the cross, that he rose victorious to give you salvation, and you have confessed of your sin and you have repented and you have surrendered your life to him. I'm talking to you right now. Because maybe somewhere along the line, fear gripped you and got a hold of you. Maybe it was through loss. Maybe it was through failure. Maybe it was a broken relationship. But today, I want you to remember God's promises. I want you to remember who he is. And I want you to remember that he is with you. And this thing that you've been holding on to, that's been holding you back, that's been keeping you from his calling on your life, he wants you to give that to him. We are not meant to live in fear. We're meant to live out our faith. So right now, my Christ followers in the room, would you take a minute and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for letting this fear control me and not putting it in your hands and give it to him. Spend some time right there with that. Now, if you're here today and you've been dealing with a giant fear in your life for a very, very long time, maybe it's addiction, maybe it's relational issues, maybe it's with your parents, maybe it's with a spouse, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's financial fears, I don't know. If you've been dealing with it and your fears just keep piling up and piling up and piling up and you have lost hope and you feel stuck, and you've never really known who to give this to, I want you to know today that there is someone you can give it to. There is someone that can conquer your fears and help you strike them down and cut them off. And his name is Jesus. And it's recognizing who he is. It's recognizing what he's done. That he died for your sins, for your mistakes, for your failures. He died for all of that. And he rose victorious to give you salvation and reconcile you back to God. And so that you could experience victory in your life. He wants that for you. So today, if you've been holding on to that fear and you're ready to be done with it, man, it starts with Jesus. It's repenting and confessing and professing him as Lord and Savior of your life. And that's where it begins. And it's a journey. And in all of our lives, these fears, these things, it's going to look different when God shows up. It may take some time before that fear is conquered, but we continue to have faith in the one who is victorious over sin and death. And so that's what I would challenge you to do today if you've never done it. Surrender your life, all of it. Surrender control, all of it. Surrender your fears, all of them, to your Father, your Heavenly Father, who loves you and cares for you and fights for you and who can be with you 24/7 through the Holy Spirit. Ask him to come into your life and to be with you every step of the way when you leave these doors. God, right now I thank you for your word, your powerful, challenging, transforming word. You've given us these stories of these heroes of faith, and they weren't just for them though, God. They're to show us and remind us of who you are. And thank God that you are for us. If you're for us, if you're near us, man, what should we fear? God, thank you for your son, for dying for us, for taking our place. I thank you for resurrection life, victorious life. It's in your son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.